Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, NWSL lead writer for CBS Sports, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, NWSL analyst and broadcaster. We have a special interview episode today for all of our listeners. We are joined today by former NWSL player Kelly Conheny. She is currently working with Brazil in an effort to help limit the impact of concussions in the game. Kelly, how are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing awesome.
It's great. Thanks for having me. To talk to you.
I'm really excited to jump into this conversation today, particularly about we'll get into it later at the latter end of this episode about concussions and things like that with impacting the game. But I think to start things off, I think I would like to sort of introduce or slash reintroduce you to our listeners here. For people who do not know, Kelly is a former player with the once upon a time Sky Blue FC, now currently known as Gotham FC. So I guess just to get us started, Kelly, as a former NWSL player, you know, have you been following the league a little bit this year? Or if you have, what do you think of the regular season so far?
Yeah, I have been following the league a little bit. I try to keep up. You know, I have some friends that still play in the league. I kind of look back and think like, oh my gosh, how are they still doing it? And yeah, I mean, I just love to see how the league has advanced since I played there. I'm living with my parents right now at home in New Jersey in the town of Brielle, which is where I used to play. We used to play around here in Sky Blue. We used to all live around like Spring Lake area, Point Pleasant. And so it's like bringing back all those memories of when I used to play. And yeah, the league's taken off. It's doing awesome. We're seeing a lot of improvements. We're seeing a lot of improvements on the side of the coaches that they're choosing and just the league play in general. And, you know, I went back to my college town the other day and, you know, spoke to the girls about like my whole college and professional experience. And I feel like the game in general has just grown so much since I played. So it's really cool to see. You know, I keep up with soccer, like I keep up with the women's national team and the coverage of it and where the game is at right now. It's going in a really good direction.
The game is growing and it's so good to see. And it's great that you're going back and talking to those younger players. You started in the NWSL in 2016 at Sky Blue, and that's where you are now in your hometown. And the club recently went through a huge rebrand, no longer Sky Blue FC and now known as New Jersey, New York Gotham FC. As a former Sky Blue player, what do you think of this rebrand? Do you like the kits? Do you like the colors? Do you like the name?
Yeah. I mean, I'm jealous. I'm like, dang, like, look where we are now. It's so awesome. I mean, we had to make this change. Like Sky Blue had to become New York, you know, New York branded, just because it's the best city in the world. And, I'm so happy for them to, you know, to get to play in, you know, Red Bull Stadium and, to be, you know, to be in a spot where, you know, it's a league, the best league in the world, and a team that's taken very seriously now. I mean, you know, you see this league and some of the players in this league and you're like, they deserve, you know, to be in a position where they're treated like professionals. And, you know, it feels, you know, at least with the media coverage that they're getting, and it looks like they're headed in that direction, and the whole league is headed in a really good direction. And you know, they just got one of the best players to ever play the game as their general manager, Yael Averbush. So, it's awesome to see players, you know, that played coming back into the game. Their Bev Yanez is also their assistant coach. So you love to see that. You love to see, you know, women that played and understand what professional women's soccer is in the U.S. and their, you know, obvious passion for the game to be able to come back and come back into the league and support it on its way up.
It's so funny that you mentioned that we actually had a recent interview not too long ago with Yael Heiberbusch-West about talking about those hires, and then you mentioning assistant coach Yanez. And she talked a lot about the process of that and hiring that and sort of having to tighten up her GM cap right away and go on a coaching search. Mm-hmm. But when that news was like announced for Scott Parkinson as head coach and then Bev Yanez as first assistant, like a lot of the reaction to that was super positive. Like it was like straight up a home run, knocked it out right of the park type of hire that the club made. Were you part of that reaction, like that positive reaction? Like, oh, like this is great for the club.
Yeah, I mean, anytime a former player comes back and plays or and coaches in the NWSL, it's like a win. You know, Becca Moros is there. I saw she moved to coach a college team. But, you know, to have the experience of playing in the league and then to be able to step in a role where, you know, you can represent the players. It's such a win in that category. Like, it's women supporting women, but you know, also they're the best to have done it. And then, you know, like I love to see women coaching other women because it's such a different game. Not to say, you know, that men can't coach women. There's incredible male coaches out there. I've had incredible male coaches, but I just love to see the women representing like the league as coaches.
Yeah, for sure. Let's take a step back a little bit in terms of even like earlier in your playing career, some of the injuries maybe that you faced, because you were faced with a lot of adversity really early on. You formerly played with Virginia Tech, and during your senior year, you ended up being sidelined due to a concussion. Can you sort of walk us through sort of having to go through something like that, kind of what most people consider in the very early stages of your top level playing career?
Yeah, for sure. So my senior year, 4 games in, I took a bad header. It was a diving header, and I came off the field and I went over to my trainer and I was like, I don't feel right. Like, this isn't good. Prior to that, my junior year, like I played and started every minute of every game. And then going into my senior year, I played with Ottawa Fury in the W League, and I was playing defensive midfields and in a position where I was like heading a lot of balls. So I went from a junior year in college, you know, the spring season, basically 4 days later, stepping on the field with Ottawa Fury. And then we ended up winning the national championship or the, I think the North American Championship, I think they called it, for the W League that year. And then 4 days later, went into preseason with Virginia Tech. And I was just in go, go, go mode. But I was also in my head, I was like, I can't stop. Like, I have to go if I want to, like, make another national team camp, if I, like, want to, you know, excel in my career. If I want to be the player I want to be, I can't stop. So it was just this, like, athlete mentality of, like, you don't really have a choice. You have to keep going. So I started feeling kind of, like, fatigue. My head started kind of hurting a little bit that summer, but it was just kind of the normal like headaches and like drowsiness after games. And then when I took that header my senior year, 4 games in, I got dizzy and I got up. I played the rest of the game and then I went over to my trainer and I was like, yeah, this isn't good. Like, I don't feel right. So I talked to the doctors at Virginia Tech and they put me on kind of like a track to recover. And at that point it was like, okay, let's get you back on the field when your headaches subside. And so that was really all I had to work with. So I was like kind of just waiting and like in a dark room and kind of taking my time away from classes, not going to class. And then things just like started getting worse. Like, I wasn't getting better and I was sitting in dark rooms and doing all the things I was supposed to be doing, but I wasn't getting better and I wasn't improving. So that takes me to the end of my senior year and I didn't play a single game. So I took a fifth year because I had eligibility to be a fifth year senior. I had one class left to graduate. I tried to come back. The intention was come back and play for my fifth year with Virginia Tech. We had a really good team that year. We had a really good team, my senior year as well. But then my fifth year, it was like that team went to the national championship. And I watched from the sideline, like knife in my heart every single game, but also, so happy for my teammates. But I was just like, oh my gosh, like I need to be out there with them. But it was at this point, it was like my life versus playing a game. Like it had gotten to that point where I realized that the severity of my head injuries, it's not going away. It's been a year. Yeah, it's been a year and I'm still struggling and I'm still like fighting this thing. And now I'm, went from the athlete that would do anything to be on the fields I'd play with a broken leg, right? To like, I have to take this seriously. And I finally got some sense knocked into me. I did take it seriously and I thought that I was done. I thought that I was completely done with soccer. So I, kind of hung up the cleats after my fifth year, went to the national championship with the team from the sideline, kind of was like a sideline player coach. And then I was, done with soccer. So I thought at that point, and ended up going to work for a nonprofit overseas using soccer as like a social tool to educate in third world communities. So kind of like was trying to, fill that void with something else, soccer, like, I can do something else other than play and be on the field. That was kind of my journey through concussions my senior year and at Virginia Tech.
So at that point in your life, like you mentioned, it had been a year that you watched your college team play, not playing due to injury and your concussion, and you thought your career was done for soccer wise. Yeah. When you approached that mentally, how did you approach that? Thinking that you wanted to play at the highest level, you were dreaming of the national camps. How did you approach that chapter where you thought this is it? I'm hanging up my cleats.
Yeah. I mean, I look back and think for a lot of reasons, like the hardest time of my life. Like, any player knows when they're done with the game, it's so hard to hang it up. I look back and I'm like, I just did it. Like I was just like, my life matters more and I'm going to get through this as much of a struggle as it is. Like my life matters more, than like Kelly as a soccer player. And it was really hard for me to see that. I honestly, I think athlete identity, like, it's not talked about enough. It's just, when you're done with your sport, you have a sport that takes you through your whole life. This one thing that like is your focus your whole life. And then you get to a point where it's like, you either graduate and it's like goodbye, or you get injured and it's like goodbye. It's like a loss because you've worked on it for your entire life. It's like something being just totally taken away. So that's kind of how I went through like a grieving process. Like, and I still kind of feel like I'm going through that grieving process in some ways. Some days when I go back and kick a ball around, I'm like, can I do this again? But that's like silly,
Can we like maybe kind of hone in on the athlete identity for a second? I kind of want to center on that for a second, because so much of like the concept of injuries, not that they're a concept, they're a real thing that happens, but the mindset that comes around injuries sometimes, and specifically head injuries within this game.
Yeah.
When you're dealing with injuries in general, but specifically head injuries, that I would assume that athlete identity also comes into play when you're tackling that type of stuff. We hear it all the time. Like, it's just like, oh, I got to try to push through. I got to try to like get better. My team needs me.
Yeah.
Like these concepts of just the sort of putting that kind of like maybe unnecessary or added emotional weight onto pushing oneself back into playing form.
Right.
How strongly are these two things tied together, do you think?
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's Can you repeat the question? And which two things are tied together? Like,
yeah, like the athlete mentality of like having to push through something, and then this, the severity of whatever that injury is, in this case, a head injury.
Right.
Because soccer is so, you know, it's a beautiful game. It's football, right? It's like, oh, you just need your legs and your feet.
Right.
You know what? It's your head. It's a headache. Like, you'll just push through. How much of like the grinder mentality is tied into maybe not taking a head injury so seriously?
I mean, I think that's such a good point, because, and the whole thing with concussions, it's like, it's invisible. So you don't have like, you don't have a timeline, and you don't have a cast on telling other people or telling yourself that you're injured and you're really hurt. Like, you wouldn't walk on a foot that's cast in, right? Yeah. But you continually put your head in front of a ball that's going like 60 miles per hour because you're the athlete, and part of being tough is showing other people that you're tough.
Yeah.
And I think for me, like, that was kind of like my MO. Like, that was my thing. I was like, I will do anything for my teammates. I'm that type of teammate that physically will put my body on the line for my other team, for my teammate. You know what I mean? So, that was really hard. I mean, taking that out of the game for me, it was like, wasn't the same game of soccer for me. I was like, what's the point of playing if I can't be that type of player? That's where I get my adrenaline rush from, you know, and how I show how supportive of a teammate, you know, that I am.
Yeah. So it starts really heavily for you in college. It, carries a little bit through into NWSL for you,
yeah,
with Sky Blue, and then ultimately your career takes you into Europe a little bit, and then this also follows you there, right?
Yeah. So yep.
You announce your retirement in 2018.
Yep.
So as you, again, we're talking about this athlete mentality coming in and sort of making that decision to step away from the game. I imagine that's very hard, especially when it maybe feels like something that is that's essentially out of your control, because concussions it's a neurological thing, right?
Right.
So in terms of making that decision and in stepping away from 2018 and now, mm-hmm. What have you been up to in terms of finding who you are post professional soccer player?
Yeah, that's a great question. So post professional career, I moved back home to Ridgewood, New Jersey, where my family used to live. That's where I grew up, the town I grew up in. And I got connected with a coach that I used to train with, who was involved with a virtual reality system called Brazil. It was founded in England and then, you know, brought over to the US, and, you know, I was working with them. It's a virtual reality, technology where, you know, you have trackers on your feet, you have a headset on, and basically going through the motions of, you know, training like your skill set, without actually touching a ball. So the concept is like, you can't wrap your mind around it unless you've been in the system. You get it. You're like, okay, now I get it. But there's a huge part of the game that there's a lot of focus on these days, which is like the mental side of the game. Like, train yourself mentally, like visualize, you know, before you go on the fields, you know, smell the grass, all that stuff, right? So they've proven that visualizing is very effective to, you know, to performance. And so I was really intrigued by the system. It was in the very beginning stages. So I started selling the product, and I was, you know, kind of, you know, all over the US, all over, I went to Peru once, they've used it, you know, in other countries. And, you know, now the system is, you know, at a point where, you know, they're really focused on like the vision side of things, the mental side of the game, you know, reaction time, and really focused on head injuries, and preventing head injuries in the sport of soccer. So, it's gotten to a point where, you know, I'm really intrigued in it, and, I really love to talk about it. It's one of my, you know, huge passions, and, I'm really, you know, I was really affected by it. So, you know, obviously for me, it's, you know, something that, that excites me. I mean, in I guess the most positive way, take your experiences and try to turn them into a positive. Like, how can I help other people, you know, get better from a head injury? How can I help other people, educate other people on how to, you know, get through difficult times? Like, that's, you know, that's where I know that I'll end up one day. But to backtrack a little bit, I actually left Brazil last two years ago, about moved to California. I'm currently working for a streaming company. We stream youth sports games. The company's called Baller TV. We stream youth sports games around the country. Very, you know, like a widespread company now, you know, nowadays with COVID and everything going on with COVID, you know, college coaches can't come to games. Parents and players or parents and grandparents can't come to games. So, it's kind of like taken off during COVID, but yeah, that's where I'm at right now in California.
Love to hear it. Brazil, a software company and soccer virtual reality platform for heading simulation that works on cognitive development and analysis. That's very cool. Sounds like something that's very necessary, quite frankly, talking to you a little bit about your experiences with concussions and, you know, knowing that this is a thing that impacts the game and players within the game. It just, these type of tools just sound like they can only be helpful for players as they're navigating this type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I want to dive a little bit deeper into this VR headset and the simulation. I know you said it's a little bit difficult to understand until you're actually inside of it, but so it's a simulation, no ball involved, to practice technical soccer skills or positional soccer skills. Take me a little bit deeper into what happens when you put on the headset.
Yeah, so there's some different features in the system. So there's like an interactive piece, and then there's a piece that's not interactive, but you can basically watch the game back or like practice set plays from the outside to just visualize, okay, like positionally, where am I supposed to be on the field? The interactive part, you know, to me is really cool because the feel of the ball, like the sensors vibrate on your feet and you actually feel that, like it feels like you're touching a ball with your feet. Like it's so hard to wrap your mind around unless you've actually done it. But the whole concept is that like you can practice without actually like having any impact. And so, you know, what they're really promoting right now is their Player 22. It just requires a headset and like handheld sensors, but this is like kind of like mind blowing because they're going through, you know, basically how to head the ball, like teaching like UEFA coaches kind of like came up, helped, you know, Brazil or helped the founders of the Brazil come up with a curriculum, to teach players how to head the ball. So imagine like learning how to head the ball in, you know, like UEFA licensed coaches teaching you how to head the ball. You know, you're not actually heading it. There's no actual impact, but you're learning from like the best in the game, like how to properly, like your proper technique and how to head it. So like that whole idea is, you know, incredible to me. But yeah, you've got to get in the system to understand it, to really understand that, like, you know, like you're working the muscles that you would work with heading the ball. And yeah, it's just, it's amazing.
So you're in this virtual reality heading simulation, but there's no impact on your head.
Right.
And now in youth soccer, youth players aren't being taught how to head the ball because it's so dangerous and detrimental to a young developing brain. So how much does this translate to when the player gets onto the field? And like for young soccer players that don't have the repetitive impact on their head when they're learning how to play soccer, how much does this Player 22 simulation help them in their game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's super effective because in the virtual reality, like you feel like you're on a field and you feel like the ball's actually coming at you. So even just to give kids like that confidence to like attack the ball, you know, I think that's like super effective. Yeah, and then, you know, there's you're heading the ball to different places, to different, like to different boxes, you know? So, I mean, I think it's a super effective way to learn, number one. Cause you know, they say with visualization, you could literally close your eyes and, you know, there's more to this, but get just as much out of, visualizing, practicing as you would like actually going on the field. And I think there's so much to that. You know, I think like kids these days are either like overtrained people in general, like soccer players in general, overtrained, you know, there's sometimes where they just need to step away from the field and maybe have a mental practice instead of like an actual physical practice to rest their body, say post game or pre game. You know, I know I would use it in the locker room before going out on the field. Absolutely. If this was like available to me, I would definitely, you know, use it in the locker room just to get my mind straight and to like get in the zone.
You mentioned trying to do it in the locker room. So if you had Player 22 and the VR heading simulations growing up, how might your career have looked different? Maybe.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a huge topic of conversation. Like I think, you know, head injuries are coming to the forefront right now. It's, you know, kind of a different world than it was even when I was in college. They've come so far and they've done a lot of research and they've gotten to a point where they're, you know, kind of acknowledging like, okay, like what would happen if we did take heading out of the game? How would it change the game? And you'll have people argue with you left and right, like, no, it's going to change the whole game of soccer. And, you know, I say this all the time, but like, what if the game was just, what if heading was just like contained to the 18-yard box, you know? What if heading wasn't, you know, a 50-50 challenge off of a 60-yard punt from a goalkeeper at midfield? And we know the ball is just getting harder and players are just getting stronger and the ball is getting moving faster, you know, and you're putting your head in there. And at midfield, it's a 50-50 challenge anyway. So, you know, you're going up for a header. Who's going to win the ball after that? Like, what's the point? You know, why not just like take it down on your chest? Or players are good enough to take it out of there on their, you know, on other surfaces.
I love that. The game, I mean, and the game has evolved. It currently is evolving.
Totally.
I mean, we saw the introduction of something like VAR and like that has, you know, shaped the way, you know, players maybe try to do some defending in the box, right? But in terms of concussions in the future, how do you see the game of soccer evolving to protect the most important part of your body, your head and your brain, or what would you like to see continue?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see kind of just what I talked about, heading being taken out of the game. I think they're making really strong moves at the youth level. I think Brazil could be a huge step in the right direction for youth players and just minimizing the, you know, the amount of headers in practice, you know, because, you know, when I think back to when I learned how to head the ball, it was always like diving headers. And, you know, there's always one designated person and they're usually like the tallest, most fearless player, you know, as youth players. And that was probably, you know, the players that make it to the top, you know, like I was one of those players that, you know, they'd be like, Kelly, get in the box. Or like, Kelly, like, you know, a goal kick is happening, so stand where the goal kick like is probably gonna, where the ball's probably gonna land, and try to head it back towards the goal, just for the keeper to pick it up and punt it again. Like, yeah. Like let's try to limit like the amount of headers in the game in general. I mean, I think it'd be a more beautiful game.
I love to hear it. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Kelly Conhini with Brazil, former NWSL pro player and so much more. Great conversation today. I hope to have you back in the future. Sky Blue. Jeez, Gotham FC is currently in a playoff push, so we'll see what happens there. Maybe we'll get you back and get your perspectives on that. But I want to thank you so much for joining us and informing our listeners today about all the good work that you're doing.
Thank you guys so much.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.